We're turning this morning to the book of Psalms. We're coming away from our studies in the book of Philippians for today. And we're turning to the book of Psalms and to the Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Psalm 147. As I sat with Roberta and the boys and Irene on Friday night, I just said to them, I have no words that I can say to you, because it is at times like that when words fail and the words just do not come. But we're glad that there's always comfort in God's word. And I trust that what we want to say today, while it'll come in weakness, I pray that the Lord will be pleased to use these words to our hearts this morning and to speak to all of our hearts, to encourage us, to comfort us as we face forward into the future. I'm just going to read the one verse that will be the verse that we want to consider this morning, Psalm 147, and the verse number 3. He says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Let's just seek God's face in a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Let's seek the Lord together. And as we come to His word this morning, that He would come and speak. Heavenly Father, we come now to thy precious truth, and we thank thee, O God, for thy word that we can turn to, that word that encourages us along the way, or that word which so often comes as a challenge to our lives. But Lord, we thank thee as well that thy word comes as great comfort and solace and peace. And we pray, Lord, today that thy word will come with such effect today to our hearts. Lord, that this day we might know with assurance, we might know the reality that thou art the one who binds up the broken in heart, the one who today binds up those sore wounds. O God, we pray for thy help. We ask, O God, that far beyond the voice of man, may we hear the voice of God. Speak to us, we pray. May thy word come, not, Lord, with the words of man, but, Lord, may it come in the power and demonstration of God, the Holy Spirit. Give help in the hearing, give help in the preaching, and through it all glorify thy name. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. 1 feeling and emotion that was felt by so many, and yesterday as the news filtered through of Chris' very sudden death, and especially it was felt by Roberta and the boys and Irene on Friday night, and that was shock. The devastating news that came to us on Friday night of Chris' very sudden death made us all, but most especially his family, just numb with shock. The suddenness of his death, and especially for one so young and in such good health, took us all by surprise. And then after the initial shock of what had happened, and how so quickly in such a short space of time, Chris was ushered out into God's eternity, that shock then gave way to grief, tears, as it began to sink in that a husband was taken, a father was gone, a son-in-law, a brother, a neighbour, a friend would no longer be seen on this earth. Many tears have already been shed, I know that, and doubtless many more will continue to be shed over the next number of days and weeks. And so this morning, as the Lord will give help, He has directed my mind today for us as a congregation, but most especially for the family, to these words in verse number 3, where we read that he healeth the broken in heart and he bindeth up their wounds. I trust that what we want to say today will be of some comfort and some help to us all as a congregation, most especially to Roberta, to Joshua, to David, to Matthew, to Andrew, to Irene, and indeed to all the family as we seek to bring words from the Lord today. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, that there is a sorrow that is certain. Verse 3 speaks of a heart that is broken. It speaks of wounds that are open and need to be bound up. And of course, there are many things that will cause our hearts to break throughout the course of our lives. There will be many different circumstances and many different events that will cause our hearts to break and that will cause those wounds to be open and be sore. Our hearts can break because of sin. Sin in our own hearts, sin in our own lives, sin in our land, sin in our nation. Our hearts can break because of some disappointment or some discouragement that has come our way, whether it be in our own homes or whether it be in the place of employment or in our business, wherever. There can be those times when our hearts break because of disappointment and discouragement. And I know that there are broken hearts today, not simply because of what happened on Friday night past, but I know that over certain days and weeks, because of the events that have befallen, there are many hearts that are heavy and sad today. And there are those who have wounds that are open and raw and sore, because the circumstances of your life have caused you great suffering. And I know as well that often behind a friendly smile there is a breaking heart. But of course, our hearts break most especially over the loss of loved ones, those who are near and dear to us, whether they have been young or whether they have been in the latter stages of life, it matters not. Whether death comes suddenly, as it did in the case of Chris on Friday night past, or whether it comes to those who have endured long periods of illness and sickness and eventually the body succumbs to death. Death causes sorrow for those who remain. Oh, the one who is taken, they die in Christ and they are freed from the pains of this life. And they've gone to be with Christ, which is so very far better. But for those who remain, the pain, the heartache, the sorrow continues. And so hearts are broken. Family ties are broken. Earthly friendships are broken. And wounds today are very, very real. As the psalmist speaks here of this sorrow, he reminds us that we live in a broken world. This beautiful world that God created was broken and marred by man's sin. Sin brought that separation between the Creator and the creation. That perfect communion that Adam had there in the Garden of Eden, in the state in which he was created, that communion, that fellowship was broken because of sin. And today we still live with the consequences of that. Sin brought death. And we live with those consequences today. That word broken there in the original in verse number 3, speaks of a breaking by force. It speaks of a great impact. These are not just some cracks in her heart, but this is a real breaking of the heart. And so often, as events come our way, they break our hearts almost in pieces. And that is the thought there in verse number 3 of that word broken. It speaks of something being broken and shattered into many different pieces. And isn't that how we feel at times? The Dillon family, their lives have been shattered by the events, by Chris's home calling. And yet so often when events come, whether it be by death or some other way, they can break our hearts into pieces. He talks as well there in verse number 3 about those wounds that need binding up. It speaks of wounds that are open, wounds that are raw and sore. It speaks of pain and suffering and sorrow. The original there in verse number 3, the wounds, means grief. Grief wounds the heart, hurts the heart. You don't need me to tell you that. There is barely anyone, I would say, if anyone today in this congregation, that if not at some time or at some stage in your life, knowing just how grief wounds your heart and breaks your heart. And how many of God's people, how many of God's servants during the course of their lives experience times when their hearts are broken. You think of Job, a man who lost everything, a man who lost his family, a man who lost his fortune, and then his health was failing as well. A man who lost everything, and he came to a point in his life when he was able to say with great heaviness and sorrow in his heart, because of the circumstances that had befallen him, he said, "Even today is my complaint bitter, and my stroke is heavier than my groaning." In other words, his heart is so broken and overcome with the events that he has had to deal with. The sorrow has been very, very real. It caused him to be very, very sore. You read through the life of Job, it's a tremendous study. And he talks about his face being foul with weeping. He talks about the death, the shadow of death being upon his eyelids. David as well, at one of those times, when he was in great distress and an agony of heart, he says in Psalm 42 that my tears have been my meat, night and day. In other words, his life has been so overtaken with all that has happened that his heart is broken and all he can do is shed tears, night and day. And so often in the scripture, we read of men and women shedding tears. Tears, you see, are given to help us release our emotions. And as I've always sought to encourage sorrowing families and grieving families, we should never seek or try to bottle up those emotions. We should never try to hold in those tears or hold back those tears. And I know people do that because they don't want to upset people. They don't want to let themselves down. Somehow they see that tears are a sign of weakness. Well, you read the account of Job. Job was not a weak man. And yet he shed tears. David was a strong man, and yet he shed tears. He knew the reality of sorrow. He knew the reality of grief, not so much because of a wound to the skin or the body, but a wound to the heart. And it has been said that we shed more tears because of wounds to the heart more than wounds to the body. Today, as a congregation, we are dealing with sorrow that's very real. We're dealing with a pain that is felt by so many, but most especially by Roberta, the boys, and by Irene, and all the family circle. How then do we deal with this sorrow? How then do we deal with this pain? Well, I want you to see not only a sorrow that is certain, but I want you to see now a Savior who is caring. In verse number 3, we read that he healeth. and bindeth.
He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Society today offers so many remedies to cure this brokenness and to heal the wounds. And so many counseling sessions are available, and yet today, the only one who can really heal up the broken in heart, the only one who can truly bind up the wounds, is the Lord Himself. In verse number 1 of Psalm 147, the psalmist exhorts us, "Praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel." And then he goes on to say, "He, the Lord, healeth the broken in heart." And today, as the people of God, and as a congregation of believers gathered here, we must at all times, but especially in times like this, we must turn to the Lord. There is help today, there is hope today, and that help and that hope is found alone in Him. Because there is one today, and in the final analysis, there is only one who can entirely, completely heal the broken in heart. Only one who today can bind up those wounds, and that is the Lord Himself. Family, friends, and neighbors try to alleviate and seek to do what they can to help the suffering. And I would encourage us as a congregation to rally round this family and to support them in now their hour of need. We will all do what we can. But the reality is today that it's only the Lord that's going to heal the broken in heart. It's only the Lord who's going to bind up those wounds that are sore and raw today. None of our words, while well-intentioned, our sympathy and our encouragement, and again, I encourage you to do what you can for the family. Most of all, today we look to the Lord to do that which we cannot do. You see, today we cannot fully enter into the suffering of the Dillon family. While perhaps others in the congregation have walked a similar pathway, yet every individual suffering is very personal. But there is one today. There is one who enters into the sufferings of all. And that is the Lord. There is one today who knows what we are going through while no one else may know or fully understand. And that is the Lord. Our sorrow, our suffering, does not go unnoticed by Him. Wasn't the psalmist able to say, "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in thy bottle." What a beautiful description of the care and the interest and the compassion that the Lord has for those who are heavy and sad and broken in heart. Our tears in His bottle. In other words, He takes notice. While no one else may see those tears, He sees them. And not only does He see them, but He also records them. Because the psalmist said not only about the Lord putting our tears in his bottle. And I've preached on that verse in the past. But it also says that they're in his book. They're in his book. God keeps a record of the hearts that are heavy, broken, and the tears that are shed. The Lord is acquainted with our sorrow. He's interested in our grief. But not only is he interested in our sorrows, he's also able to heal our sorrows. How does he do that? Well, let me suggest to you three very simple ways in which the Lord heals the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He does it, first of all, by his promises. By God's word. God's promises are, must be, always will be, a tremendous medicine to the broken heart. His word is as a remedy to the afflicted and the agony that we're often called to endure. If you turn over to the next book there, the book of Proverbs, and the chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And in verse 20 we read these words, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." And here he explains why in verse 22. "For they are life unto those that find them." And here's what I want you to get. "Their health to all their flesh." If you have a margin in your Bible, you'll see that word health can also mean medicine. God's word. God's word are a medicine to us. That's why he instructs us to attend unto his words, to incline our ears unto his say, not to let them depart. Because his word, his promises, are a medicine to the broken heart. And when our hearts are heavy and sad, there is nothing like taking down the Word of God, reading that Word, and hearing what God would have to say. So he heals our broken heart. He binds up our wounds, first of all, by his promises, but as well by his presence. Our motto text for this past year, you will know it is always there in the bottom of our church bulletin. Deuteronomy 31 in the verse 8, "And the Lord, he it is. He it is that doth go before thee. But he it is also that goes with thee." You see, before we go into any new day or before we go into any new week, the Lord's already gone before us. But not only does he go before us, he also goes with us. And his presence is a cheer and a comfort to our hearts. He says, "I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee." There are those precious words that often we turn to, and we turn to them as well on Friday night. In Isaiah chapter 41 and the verse 10, where the Lord, through his servant Isaiah, says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Verse 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Fear thou not, I will help thee." And when circumstances take a turn that we never expected or never planned, yet through every circumstance, through every pathway, the Lord says, I'll be with thee. And when at times we feel that we do not have the strength to go on, and we do not know how we're going to go on, the Lord says, I'll hold thee, and I'll help thee, and I'll be with thee. In the week that lies ahead, there is one thing that we need more than anything else, collectively as a congregation, individually, and also the family, is for the Lord to go with them and for his presence to encourage them and to be with them. You remember those two in the Emmaus Road, they walked and they were sad, they were down in heart. But when the Lord drew near, their hearts were lifted. And when we come to God's word, and when we hear God's word to our hearts, when the Lord draws near, he heals the broken in heart. His word as that medicine binds up those wounds that are sore. Our words, and so often we feel for words, our words are so helpless, but yet the Lord's words are so soothing, comforting, and so encouraging. How does the Lord heal the broken in heart? How does he bind up the wounds? Well, by his promises, by his presence, but also by his peace. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We read of the peace that passeth all understanding. You know that peace. Many of you have experienced that peace. As you, in your own personal circumstances, have been caused to pass through a day of darkness and sorrow and grief, and yet you've known the peace of God that passeth all understanding. That peace that binds your heart and heals your heart and binds your wounds. The peace of God. And in the midst of all that goes on around us, and so often our peace can be disturbed. So often as our hearts are shattered and broken, we can get no peace, we can feel no peace, but the Lord says, my peace give I unto you. That peace which is grounded first of all and foremost in the work of the Savior on the cross. Because in order for us to know the peace of God, we first must know peace with God. We must be reconciled to him. We must be brought into that saving personal union relationship with him. Christ in his incarnation is becoming man. He entered into our sufferings that he could share in our sufferings. That's one of the great reasons as to why Christ became man. Yes, he came man to save us, but he also became man in order to share in our sufferings and to give us his peace. And for each one today who knows the peace of God, for each one today who knows the peace with God, that peace will be ever an abundant supply through every dark and difficult day. What therefore are we to do with our hearts that are broken and our wounds that are sore? Well, we are to take them to the Lord. David said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. And that's what we are to do. We must call upon the Lord. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The Lord is interested. The Lord has a concern. The Lord has compassion today in all those whose hearts are heavy and broken, wounded. Oh, don't try to work it out yourself. Don't try to deal with your own grief, your own sorrow, in your own way. Take it to the Lord and allow Him to give you that perfect peace and work out His perfect plan in your life. I know that over this past 24, 48 hours, now almost, lives have just been torn. And many, many questions have been asked. And thinking how all this is going to work out. And how is the Lord going to deal with this situation? How am I going to deal with this situation? Well, we read there in verse number 4 of the greatness and the power of God. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Great is the Lord and of great power. You see, it's nothing to the Lord to heal. It's nothing to the Lord to bind up. The Lord is well able to do that which we certainly cannot do ourselves. There is no situation, no matter how great that grief may be. There is no heart that is broken, no matter how broken it may be. There are no wounds, no matter how sore or how raw they may be, but the Lord is not able to bind them up. The Lord is not able to heal. There's a sorrow that is certain. There's a Savior who is caring. But I must today speak in conclusion of a salvation that is complete. Because maybe you have experienced grief, but you have never experienced God's salvation. And today you don't know where to turn to. Your grief has been so intense and your sorrow has been so heavy and you find no satisfaction in yourself. Well, I encourage you today to turn to the Lord. Turn to Christ. Surely, what happened on Friday night must remind us again of the brevity of life. And how that we are but a step from death. And how that there is the need in life to prepare for death. Because you see, without God's salvation, there is no hope for God's heaven. Without God's pardon, you will never have God's peace. And therefore today, and in the midst of all that has befallen over this past number of days, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, if you do not have His salvation, then I urge you, I press upon you today the urgency of getting right with God. Your heart is broken because of sin. Your heart is separated from God. You are separated from God as you are in your sin. And if you're ever going to be with God, then you need to call unto Him in salvation. You need to turn your heart and life over to Christ. You need to make preparation. We need to realize that in the midst of life, we are in death. And it doesn't matter what we are or what we have of this world. It'll be left behind. It doesn't matter how prominent or not we may be. When it comes the day of our death, the time of our death, the only thing that matters is how we stand before God. Those with millions in their bank accounts and those with nothing. Those who have lands and properties and those who have nothing. The one common denominator is that we all must needs die. And the only thing that will stand for eternity is how our hearts are before God. Young people, you believe you've all your life ahead of you. I trust, I pray that will be the case. But we know not what shall be in the morrow. And if there is any young person, we know how much the boys were so involved in the youth work here in our church. And I know the impact that it has and will have upon our young people. Can I say to you, make sure you're right with God. Make sure you're saved. The only thing that matters. And for those who are past the youthful days, make sure today you're right with God. Make sure today you're saved. Come to Jesus Christ, come to Him in salvation while there is time. Because we know not. We know not what an hour will bring, let alone a day. There's not one of us here ever imagined that when we woke up on Friday morning, we would go to bed on Friday night with that news that came, that Chris Dillon had suddenly passed away. How is it with your soul today? How do you stand before God? Are you right with Him? Do you know Him as your Savior? He'll make your life complete. And when trouble and trials come and grief comes your way, you can stand on His promises. You can be assured of His presence. You can know His peace. You see, without Christ today, there is no hope. Thank God today for the hope of the gospel. Thank God today for that day when Chris Dillon gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. But what about you? What about you? Today, to the broken heart, there are words of help and strength. Because the Lord does heal the brokenness. The Lord does bind up the soreness and the rawness. And we rest today in that while we cannot understand what God is doing and how that often in His providential plans for our life, our hearts are caused to break. Yet in the midst of it all, there is the healer of broken hearts. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And He says that weeping may endure in the night. And that certainly has been the case, I know that. But joy comes in the morning. Because the Lord heals the broken in heart. And He binds up our wounds.
May God be pleased to pour in that oil of joy for mourning. May the Lord be pleased to grant us peace. May the Lord be pleased to use us, bless us as a congregation as we seek to rally around Roberta and the boys and Irene at this time. But most of all, may we pray. May we pray that the Lord of grace and comfort will strengthen and be with them and go with them. Because the Lord will heal their broken heart and the Lord will bind up their wounds.